I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis with me. Continue our studies. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and God said, "Let us make men in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon it." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth on the earth." Verse 28 is a mandate that many are taking to subdue the kingdoms of this world. It's known as dominion theology. Have you ever heard of that? Or reconstructionism. They do not believe that the kingdom is going to be established by the Lord Jesus Christ by coming again. They are amillennialists or postmillennialists in their perspective in eschatology or things pertaining to the future. And what they're trying to do today is to subdue the governments of the world. And this is just not the plan of the ages. One of the things that one of the writers of the Dominion theologists said, it would probably take about 36,000 years for the Christians to subdue the world. What they want to do is to subdue the world and turn it over to Jesus Christ at the end of whatever time it takes. And so those that are into dominion theology are the ones who are politically active today. And that's really not our purpose today, is to become politically active or being an activist, if you please, trying to make the world better. I think that we need to make the world better in where the way we treat other people, but we know from the Word of God that things are going to get worse and worse. We're living in the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, it says that corruption, the earth was filled with what? Corruption and what? Violence. And men did that which was evil because that's what they were thinking. They thought about evil things all the time. And so, this is one of the things that we need to understand, is that it is true that God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth. And Satan was able to cause them to lose that dominion over the earth. And this morning what I want to share with you is the fact that the first Adam was given dominion and Satan took it away from him. The second Adam was given dominion and Satan was not able to take it away from him. And I want us to review a little bit of how Satan caused Adam and Eve to succumb. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. Also, let me just say this, too. We as his children are preparing ourselves to have dominion over the earth. What the Lord wants for us is for us to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ in his coming kingdom. And just as Satan tried to defeat Adam and Eve, and he did. He tried to defeat the Lord Jesus Christ, and he didn't. He is in the process right now of defeating you and me from having dominion over the earth or ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ in his coming kingdom. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is victorious over Satan, as our High Priest. He is the one who is interceding on our behalf. And of course, we have been given the spiritual warfare, the armor that we need for the spiritual warfare. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve didn't have the shield of faith. Of course, the shield of faith wouldn't work for Adam and Eve because they walked with God. They saw Him. There was no faith involved in Adam and Eve. But yet Adam and Eve did not have the sin nature that you and I do. So they had some advantages that we didn't have. But anyway. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, we find out that in a certain place, testifying, saying that, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all things in subjection under his feet, under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not all things put under him." This is the first Adam. This is Adam and Eve. And when it says he made him a little lower than the angels, this has to do with rank. Adam and Eve did not have the rank that the angels had. And so when the Lord Jesus took, in verse 9 of Hebrews 2, it tells us, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." I was just thinking about an illustration that Howard Hendricks used one time. He was sitting out in his backyard reading a book, and he looked down on the ground, and he saw some ants carrying a leaf, a big leaf. And this ant was struggling to get this leaf past the grass. And so Howard Hendricks says, "Well, I'll just help him out." And because he got it stuck on a blade of grass. So he reached down and he took the blade of grass away from the ant, this big leaf. And as soon as he did that, the ant left the leaf and ran off and forgot what he was doing. And it dawned on Howard Hendricks. He said, "You know, I can appreciate what the ant did, because of this big hand, strange to him, reached down and it scared him." And this is the thing that would have happened if God had reached down and intervened in our situation. And so he says, "You know, if I just became an ant, with the same power that I have as a human being, and I joined the ant, then I could take care of his problem for him, and I wouldn't scare him." And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. God Almighty took upon himself the form of a man, and he came so he could minister to us and not scare us, if you please. But we see the first Adam and the second Adam both coming here on the earth. The first Adam had dominion and was given dominion, but Satan was able to cause him to fall. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we see the process that Satan used to defeat Adam. He used Adam's wife. Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ did not have a wife at the time he was here on the earth. But Satan knows where to attack us at our weakest points. But yet we think we are strong. I'm just thinking about the fact that when God gave dominion to Adam and Eve, He gave him dominion over the fish, the fowl, the cattle, and every creeping thing. I know that the serpent wasn't creeping until after the fall, but Adam and Eve had dominion over him, the animal in which Satan entered into and came to Eve. So Eve was not afraid of this serpent. Why? Because she had dominion over that serpent. And Satan will come to us in a way that we know or we think we have power over that situation or individual or whatever the case may be. And so therefore we are not careful at the time of testing and trial. And so we see that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field in Genesis 3:1, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Shall ye not eat of every tree of the garden? One of the things that Satan will do is cause us to question the authority of God in our life. He will question what God has said. And he causes us to begin to question. This is the reason why it's so very important for us to be grounded in the Word of God. And the grounding in the Word of God needs to be refreshed. You know, we think we know things out of the Word, and we probably do. But we need to have them refreshed. We need to go over them and over them again. And in fact, we find that Eve really didn't quote the Lord very well in the next verse. But we need to be accurate. We need to know the Word of God well enough that we can counter Satan and his devices. And Satan says, Hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Come on now. Eve, you can have any of them you want. You can enjoy. God's not taking away something from you. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Which is really not a quotation of what the Lord actually said. He just said that you should not eat it. In fact, he says that for in the day that thou eatest it, you will die. In Genesis 2 and verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that ye eat thereof thou shalt surely die. One of the things that happens is when we are thinking about things that we shouldn't be doing, we don't think about the fact that judgment comes swiftly. In the day that you eat it, you will die. And Eve did not mention the fact that it would be the day that she would, or if they ate of that tree, they would die. And so we need to realize that the judgment of God is swift, and they did die the day that they ate that fruit. But anyway, the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Verse 4. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. This is just a total blatant lie. Who is a liar but Satan? Who is the father of a lie? It's the devil. And let me tell you, whenever you see someone or whenever you lie, let's don't put it on somebody else's shoulder. Whenever you lie, you know who's working? The devil's working in you. And he can work in every one of us. And every one of us have lied. So we have all experienced the devil's handicraft. But the point is this, Satan will just blatantly lie. He will contradict God. We need to know that, and we need to know when he is doing that. And one of the things that Eve didn't do was to say, Oh yes, he said you would die the day that you would eat there. You would surely die. She did not use any She did not use the scripture that she knew. And let me tell you this. Eve didn't have to memorize 25 verses. One verse was enough. But she didn't know that verse very well. So, anyway, ye shall not die is what Satan said. And then he comes back, for God knoweth, in verse 5 he says, for God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Oh, God has something for me, something else for me, I want it. You ever heard that before? I've heard that a lot. If God has something for me, or something else for me, I want it. Well, that's basically what Satan was setting her up for. God's got something for you, and he's keeping it from you, so you better get it by disobeying him. And that's what happens today with people who want things that God hadn't planned for them, and they get it. And just like the children of Israel, they wanted meat, and they wanted it now. And God gave it to them, and he says, for a month you will eat quail. And what happened when they ate quail? Well, it eventually came back out. And I don't know whether you've ever been that sick or not, where it's not fun. I'll just leave it at that. Just don't be any more graphic than that. It did come out their nose. That is really sick. And so there are times when we ask for things from God, and you know what? It makes us just that sick. Now, Eve, verse 6 tells us really what happened to Eve. And Satan set it up by telling her that God didn't really mean what he said, and that God is keeping something from you, and if you will get it, you will be like gods. And this is plural. And Eve knew about gods, because the reference to gods here is not to deities. The reference here is to the angels that are in authority under Satan over the earth. At this time, Satan was higher in rank because he was an angel, and his angels ruled over the earth. And even though God gave it to Adam and Eve, Satan was still had higher rank than Adam and Eve, and because there's always a test period for leadership. But anyway, becoming gods meant that you would become like the angels, not deities. That's what he is saying here. He is not saying that you will become God. Okay? Now, it says that the woman saw that the tree was good for food. This is known as lust of the flesh. And that it was pleasant to the eye. This is the lust of the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. This is the pride of life. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And here we find Adam was not deceived. In 1 Timothy 2:14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. The thing that this tells me is this. The first Adam took upon Eve her sin, and he knew what he was doing. The second Adam took upon himself whose sin? Our sin. And he knew what he was doing. He knew that Eve would be booted out, and that they were one flesh, and he needed to be with his wife so that he could bring her back into the garden, bring her back into paradise. This is what Jesus Christ is in the process of doing for us. And so that is a tremendous sacrifice that Adam did for his wife. It is a tremendous sacrifice what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. He became an ant, or he became a human being just like us, so that he could identify with us and that he could bring us back into the garden together. Now, again, who is Satan? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 tells us that the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity. In other words, let me back up here and read. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan would corrupt our thinking about the Word of God. And it's simple. God's commandments are not difficult. They're not grievous. And the simplicity is there. And it's our responsibility to obey it. Eve didn't do it. But let's continue. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, it tells us, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." And those are the three areas that Satan will use, just as he did in Eve, to get us to fall. He will do that. James tells us, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." We need to know that. And we need to be on guard of that. And we need to be careful that we are not corrupting our minds or allowing Satan to corrupt our minds and not believing that. Now, the second Adam will have dominion. Remember, Jesus Christ was born what? King of the Jews. Jesus Christ is born king. And Satan, he heard that. Satan knows what's going on. He knew that Jesus Christ was the prophesied Messiah. And he knew that Jesus Christ was going to have dominion over the earth. And so therefore, Satan used the same principles he used on Eve on the second Adam. He used the same principles. He used the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it didn't work. And it will not work today on him as well. Because remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it did not work. In Luke chapter 4, verses 2 through 13, we have the Lord Jesus Christ being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And I think the Lord just spotted the devil a little by fasting for 40 days. I don't think Eve fasted for 40 days. She wasn't really hungry. She just saw that fruit was good for food. But I guess that's one way of putting it. He spotted the devil 40 days. In other words, he gave him an edge. He says, "I'll fast for 40 days and I'm hungry, but I can resist the temptation, or I don't need to turn the stones into bread to get something to eat." And the Lord Jesus Christ used Scripture in combating the devil. And we need to use the same thing. In verse 3, it says, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God..." The devil knew he was the Son of God. He knew it. But he was trying to get the Lord to say, "Wait a minute here. What do you mean, if I've been the Son of God?" You know, trying to get him riled up and get his attention off of the fact that, hey, I'm going to put in a low blow, and it says, "Here, turn these stones into bread." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." How do we maintain our life? It's by the Word of God. The Word of God. Then in verse 5, it says, "The devil taketh him up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give to thee, and the glory of them, for it, that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered him, "Here again is the word, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." What are we to do? We're to resist the devil. What will he do if we resist him? He will flee from us. That's what it tells us in James. We can tell the devil to get behind us. Jesus didn't bind the devil with chains. You know, I heard a fellow say, you know, we bind the devil, but you know, it's obviously he's got a long chain. The devil is not bindable. The devil is an authority. He is the chief prince. But he has been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is biding his time to take his due place. But anyway, Jesus said unto him, "Get thee behind thee." Another term that we can use is, "The Lord rebuke thee." One thing that we need to do, and that is to be respectful to those in authority. We are not to make railing accusations against those in authority. We need to respect authority, even in our country, in our land. We need to respect it. And the same thing with heavenly authority as well. The angels did not rebuke, Gabriel did not rebuke. One of the chief angels did not rebuke the devil. It's in Jude. Let me just see here what that is. I'm guessing at that because I don't have it here before me in Jude. Let's see here. Michael the archangel, contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him any or a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Who is to rebuke the devil? The Lord is to rebuke the devil. And it's Michael the archangel that did that. And Michael has more authority than we do in that realm, so to speak. Then we find that the devil used the lust of the eyes, and he says, "I want you to put on a little magic show so the people can see you coming down off the temple and the angels swooping you up just before you crashed into a pile down at the bottom of the temple." And the devil used the scripture to say, "Hey, this is a good thing to do." And one of the things that you need to know is this. The devil's memorized a whole lot more scripture than you. And he has heard more sermons and more Bible studies than you and I have ever heard in our life. And he knows how to subtly use scripture to derail us. You know what that encourages us to do? That encourages us to study the Word of God and to rightly divide it. If we don't know what a verse of scripture means, then the devil can use it to his advantage to what? To cause us to do evil. So Bible study is essential and we need to rightly divide the Word of God so that we are not tripped up by the devil and his angels. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. In the 11th chapter of Revelation, verse 15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." This is the middle of the great tribulation. This is the chapter just before Satan is cast out of heaven. It is in the middle of the tribulation that the kingdoms of this world are taking over by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 12, verses 7 and 8, it says, "There was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." Just remember that Satan is in the heavens today. He is the accuser of the brethren. And then we find in Revelation 20, verse 2 and 3, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should not deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a little season. What is Satan doing to the nations today? He's deceiving them. He's not only, and he's doing a good job with them. We just need the Satan to do a poor job on us. And the way we can do and can hinder that is to know his word. And it is God's purpose for us to rule and reign with Christ. That is his purpose. And we are in the process of preparing ourselves to rule and reign. You just look at what David went through to become a king. I mean, he started out as a shepherd boy. And he needed that. He needed to fight lions. He needed to fight bears. He needed the training that he went through. It wasn't fun. And his life was pursued by a man that was bent on executing David, Saul. But anyway, it's God's purpose for us to rule and reign with him. In Luke chapter 12, verses 42 through 46, it says, "And the Lord said, Who then is a faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath." What does God want from us? He wants us to be faithful, and he wants us wise. What is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. We need the fear of the Lord in our life that is something that we just need. If we don't have the fear of the Lord, we become lawless. God is not in control. Let me tell you, the police department wouldn't have the control they have if there was no fear of the sword or the gun on his side. That puts the fear of the police department in most people, not all people, but if you understand what I'm saying. We need the fear of the Lord. We need to be faithful. We need to also be wise in the Lord. Now, if we will be, and we are giving out portions of meat in due season, the Lord will give us or make us ruler over all that he hath. But verse 45 is a warning. But if that servant, and this is the same servant that was faithful and wise, this is a warning that you can be faithful and wise today, and then you can say something in your heart tomorrow that will cause you to stop being faithful and wise. But if that servant say in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat men servants and maidens, and to eat, drink, and be drunken," the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbeliever. The word unbeliever is not a happy translation. This has to do with those that are not of faith, or those that are not faithful. As soon as we say that the Lord's not coming, we stop preparing for his coming. And we stop our lifestyle of being separate and pure and clean and faithful to him. And then we turn on those in the family, in the body of Christ, and hurt others and cause others to stumble as well. So, the Lord says, the man that stops being faithful is going to have his portion with those that are not prepared. He will not rule and reign. Instead of being a sovereign, he will be a subject. Now, faithfulness means endurance. In 2 Timothy 2:12, it says, "If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he'll also deny us. The word suffer is to endure. That's a better translation. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we're faithful, we'll reign with Christ. If we're unfaithful, we will not reign with Christ. And let me tell you, those that are unfaithful are the ones that are denying him, and he will deny us the privilege of ruling and reigning with him. And then I just put in the verse in Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. These were the ones that were faithful in producing more talents. And the Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Notice that it's just a few things that we are responsible for that will qualify us to rule and reign over many. 1 pound can turn into 5 pounds, which turns into authority over 5 cities. 1 pound can turn into 10 pounds, and that gives us authority over 10 cities. It's that pound or that talent that doesn't produce anything that turns into shame and being denied ruling and reigning with Christ. We've come together to encourage each other to be faithful to the Lord. Why? So that we can hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." We're living in a day when people can fall away from being faithful. There are a lot of people today, a lot of believers today, that are not faithful to the Lord. And they're going to be disappointed when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ and they are not given the honor and the glory of those who will rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. May the Lord help us to appreciate the fact that Satan is in the business of disqualifying us from ruling and reigning. And he will do that until the day we die. You know how Satan is trying to get the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going a little over here. Let me just say this. You know how Satan is trying to get Jesus Christ where he won't rule and reign today? You know how that's happening? If he can destroy the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ will never come back to rule and reign. Did you know that? If he can destroy the nation of Israel, can obliterate them off the face of the earth, Satan will reign, continue, his reign will continue. And Jesus Christ will not assume his position of honor and glory in the coming kingdom. Just thought I'd just mention that to you. Wonder why Israel is having such a hard time? Satan wants Jesus Christ not to come back. Because if he doesn't come back, he gets to stay in authority. And that's not much fun. But let me say this. Israel will one day have their land, and God is not through with the Jew. May the Lord help us and be encouraged today to be faithful to Him. Father, we just thank You so much for Your Word. We are just so thankful, Father, that we can see that Jesus Christ had the plan to defeat the devil. And Lord, He has given us the plan to defeat the devil in our lives in the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to know it, to rightly divide it, to use it in a daily walk with Thee so that we can have victory, and that we can be faithful, and that we can be wise and rule and reign with You in Your coming kingdom. Bless, Lord, the message to our hearts and lives and to Your honor and glory, for it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen.